This is an interview with Connie McCready at her home in Northeast Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is June 24th, 1994, and this is tape 19, side one.
19.
So holy we're cow. Up to the point of the 1974 elections, and apparently Frank Ivancy was considering running for Multnomah County Commission chairmanship. In that March, but decided to drop out of that race or not run and instead run for re-election to his county, his council.
Yeah, he did a lot of that. He was always announcing that he was going to take on the Secretary of State or the county chairmanship or the... I can't remember what particular office. There was a statewide office that he announced that he was going to run for. Did I mention this yesterday?
I think so.
Or was it after we
well, I remember you're mentioning
unplugged?
Go ahead.
That he said that he announced he was going to run, and Al was having lunch with the fellow who was his political advisor, and who Al said, "Well, congratulations, I see where your boy is going to run for governor or secretary of state," and he says, "Oh, no, he isn't. Oh, maybe it was state treasurer."
And he decided not to run for state treasurer then.
Yes, he said, whatever the office was, he decided not to run for it, and that decision had been made before he had.
Uh-huh.
He said he doesn't know it yet, but he's not going to run. And
because the people behind him,
yes,
liked him where he was.
Wanted him where he was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who were the people behind him?
Oh, that particular fellow's name was Ray Kell. He was one of the leading political wheels in the Portland area. And as I've mentioned before, Frank did nothing without asking Ray. And then there was the fellow with the tugboats, Rydell, Art Rydell.
Uh-huh.
And Frank's largesse to him is legion. He had vacated all kinds of streets and property and around where Rydell International was located on the Willamette. And so he would definitely want to keep him where he was. And I'm sure that he was Frank's treasurer in his campaign.
Hmm.
So, and let's see, other people who, well.
Were they generally businessmen?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, and labor unions.
And labor union.
It was a neat trick for him to keep on the good side of both, but he managed. He probably convinced the business people that he should...
Yeah.
It takes the labor unions to get him elected, and the business people knew how they got their concessions when they wanted them. And on the local scene, there wouldn't be all that much of the philosophical type things didn't come into it, you know. We were just running the store, so it would be my bet that... Well, obviously it worked for a long, long time. He managed just dandy to be.
And Mildred Schwab was running for re-election this time.
That particular time.
Do you remember who she was running against?
She never had any real opposition, ever. I don't know how it happened. I was the lucky one. I got all of the tough ones and the mean ones.
And Lloyd Anderson announced that he would resign from the city council and drop out of the 3rd congressional district race to become deputy director of the Port of Portland. Was that a surprise?
Yeah. None of us knew anything about that, although Neil knew about it. He said something to me once about how when they had talked to him about Lloyd and having getting him to come there, offering him the job or something, and that he had said something about, well, the real administrator in City Hall is Connie McCready. When they were asking, excuse me, when they were asking about his managerial expertise or whatever it was. So they had talked, someone from the port had talked to him, and I was surprised. And I don't really know if that was actually said or not. After all, it was all secondhand. But that's what I was told.
When someone leaves their seat on the city council, there's one of a few different options that the city council could do. They could either appoint a caretaker, appoint no one, or appoint a person who intends to run for the unexpired, in this case, 2.5-year term.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that the council can make a condition of the appointment that the person run or not run.
Mm-hmm.
Caretaker would be not run.
Right.
And the other condition would be that the person runs for in the next election, and or they could say nothing and just leave it up. There's actually three alternatives there. And we chose that they should commit themselves to run for the election.
What was the process of your choosing that option? Was that just a verbal agreement among
you? Yeah, it was a consensus. And it was not difficult to arrive at that. I don't think anyone objected because it was our feeling it's tough enough to get someone, a good person into the job without having them drop out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's a lot of time of a learning period if the person is the kind of person you want on the council. They need to learn or should be learning something, and you and your staff is doing a great deal of providing the learning experience, and you don't want to go through all of that and then have them just say, "Oh, I don't want to bother." And that's the response to why we didn't pick a caretaker.
The same
response applied.
The Black Leadership Council asked for a black appointment to that seat. Were they putting a lot of pressure on Goldschmidt to do that?
Oh, I'm sure they were. I didn't pay any attention. No more than I would to any other group. A union, the unions wanted a labor person on it, and the Black Leadership Council wanted it to be a black person. Now you could get a black labor leader, maybe. I don't know, but. And then the women's groups wanted another woman, and you name it, they were. There was as many pressures as there are segments of our society.
How did they arrive?
And so you just don't. You shouldn't.
Sure.
You should just go on the basis of the qualities of the person, and if the person was from one of those groups, that was so much the better. But it should not be a deciding factor. And the harder the pressure, you don't pick someone because of the heat of the pressure. At least I don't. Some of them do, obviously. But
well, how did they decide on Jordan, or how was Jordan decided upon?
Don't ask me. I was the last to know. That decision was made before I was ever contacted.
Well, I have a lot of questions about it. Goldschmidt sent a letter around, isn't that right?
Yeah, I think I got it the day of the appointment, and it had been decided. I mean, he was recommending him, but it was all decided. He had met with them. He had said something about a letter that he was going to meet with us.
The power to appoint is in the hands of the mayor?
No.
It's a joint.
It's a council decision.
Uh-huh.
And by this time, the legislature had passed the open meeting law requirements.
Right.
And so three decision-making a number of council members could not meet in secretly.
Right.
And there were other, no, that was the Fasano decision on land use. Mm-hmm. I was thinking where I could meet with a proponent.
Right.
I was thinking, wait a minute, there was only one council member, but no, it was enough to make a decision on the council.
Well, you decided not to vote for the appointment because of the mayor's method of selection, isn't that right?
Exactly. And he'd I had nothing against Charles Jordan. I didn't really know anything about him much because I had not been privy to the information on him until Neil had his votes.
The Oregonian editorial about this said that you had a candidate, someone other than the mayor's nominee, to place before the council for consideration in public meeting, and by announcing the Jordan selection as an accomplished fact before holding a public meeting at which Mrs. McCready could present her candidate's credentials and have an opportunity to examine those of Jordan, the mayor and Commissioner Swab and Ivancy effectively eliminated open competition for the council post.
That's true.
Were they trying to, was that their intent?
Oh, sure.
Who did you have in mind?
It's like in bridge, if you know how, when you play bridge, an opening three bid cuts out the competition, right? The opposite, so many times your opponent has a very good bid or an opening bid, but they don't have an opening three or four and want to jump up there.
Who are you suggesting?
I can't remember now in that particular race. Ed Whalen was a man that I thought would have been outstanding in... and I had proposed him on, I'm sure, on several occasions. He had the background of having run a large labor organization. It wasn't just one union, and his managerial skills were very good, and he had been in legislature, which I thought would be very helpful. And he was a Democrat, as opposed to my Republicanism, would give us
right.
access for lobbying at Salem on things that meant a lot to Portland. And he was very intelligent. And it could have been Ed. Otherwise, I don't know.
There was a lot of reaction to that. And
to the
process,
yeah.
What was happening. And Representative Bob Ingalls said that it subverted and frustrated the intent of the open meetings law, and Senator Wally Carson called the Portland action incredible, and that it certainly violated the spirit of the law.
Called it credible?
Incredible.
Oh, incredible.
And Representative Norma Paulus said she would make changes to account for this. Lee Johnson, mm-hmm. who was Attorney General and had worked on Senate Bill 15, said that there was no way to stop this kind of action under the current law as long as they didn't meet in a group,
mm-hmm.
But that the decisions of governing bodies should be arrived at openly. So there was quite a bit of reaction to this.
Oh, there was a lot of furor at the time. It didn't do anything. It didn't change things.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Lee Johnson said, if someone's going to... you can usually find your way around a lot of the laws. That
mm-hmm.
used to be very frustrating when I was in legislature. We'd be working on to solve some kind of a problem and
right.
working on the legislation, not even bringing it out of committee yet, before somebody figured out a way of getting around it.
How did this compare to the other people a lot of the people were appointed onto the city council. Neil Goldschmidt, was he appointed? Or?
No, he ran.
He ran, but Mildred Schwab was appointed.
Mm-hmm. That was before
Lloyd
the open
Anderson
meeting
was
law.
Appointed, I think.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
And you were appointed.
And that was before the open meeting
uh-huh.
law. And all three of those were before the open meeting
But how did you feel about the way that those decisions were made?
I didn't care for some of them. I wasn't there when the Anderson appointment was made. I thought it was fine on minding my case. I did not care for the decision that was made in the case of Schwab, but I felt the process was fair.
You wanted to appoint a citizens task force to recommend procedures for filling council vacancies, but that was voted down by the council. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's right. That's right, because this was after the appointment,
yeah.
and all the furor came up.
Right.
That's right, but at that time, they all had such big chips on their shoulders. If they wouldn't have gone along with anything, they were insisting that there was nothing illegal and that was all perfectly fine, and they just wanted mm-hmm. the whole matter to go away. You know, it just let's bury it and not say anything, and they wouldn't support that.
Frank Ivens, who wasn't in favor of it, and you reminded him that four commissioners and a city auditor have been appointed in the last 4 years, and so that it was necessary to have some kind of review process of the filling of vacancies.
Yeah, there was too much hassle involved, and they should have approved it or something else. Uh-huh.
Did that affect
your? They didn't come up with anything.
Did it affect your relationship with Jordan when he came on to the council?
I don't know. Uh-huh. He's always been a very reserved person. No mm-hmm. one ever calls him Chuck. It's Charles, you know. And he's a very formal. Duffy, go away. I don't think anyone gets terribly close to Charles. Mm-hmm. But he's. I sat between him and the mayor. He was on the outside seat of the council, so if he didn't talk to me, or he didn't have anyone to talk to. So poor thing, he was probably kind of stuck, unless he got up and went over and leaned over and made an obvious...
The seats are arranged, I know we talked about this before, but
semicircle.
In a semicircle, but in what order?
The mayor in the center, of course. Mm-hmm. And then it just happened, whatever empty seat, that person took that empty seat.
Oh, there wasn't an order.
No, no.
You didn't necessarily sit in a particular location.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're thinking about roll call, which went alphabetically, except for the mayor last. And
there was no order revolving around seniority?
Or for the seats?
Yeah, for the seats or for anything else?
Unless I was thinking about some of the things that they did when I was appointed to take Stanley Earle's seat, people had cars assigned to them, and I know that Frank dashed down the day it happened and took Stanley Earle's limousine and left his, I thought it was a pretty great car. I couldn't believe I was handed this big Buick Anyway, it was a big car that Frank had had, but evidently it wasn't half as plush as the one that was Stanley Earle's. And Frank just dashed down and appropriated it. And so, I mean, that's the sort of thing that not knowing anything about it, and I wouldn't have done anything anyway. Car schmars. If he wanted it, you know, feel free. But it's the sort of. And how would I have known where people sat when I came onto the council? Anyway, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They would have just they put a placard up on the front of the desk that says your name and Commissioner of Public Works or whatever it was, and I wouldn't have known if, say, if Frank had decided he wanted to sit over by somebody or Mildred. Oh, Mildred wasn't there then, but. So I don't think it was ever really been discussed, because. It just happened to be it was an empty seat, and then you filled the seat. It wouldn't have been any problem for moving because there were just these three little drawers on the in the desk. You don't have all that much uh-huh. stuff there.
But your things stay in that particular desk.
Yeah.
I see.
But there's nothing of any... they don't lock... And they probably would if somebody had a key. And I certainly never tried to lock a drawer. And the council chamber was used for all kinds of meetings when we weren't there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They made it available for public uh-huh. meetings and hearings, committee hearings. Let the legislature use it on occasion when they had a committee hearing in Portland and stuff like that. So you wouldn't want to leave something that you'd need.
Yeah.
And... or, of course, something that you wanted to keep secret, whatever that would be.
I was going to ask you about the committee assignments, or the bureau assignments. Mayor Goldschmidt took over all the bureaus and then reassigned them. He had done this several times in a year's period, one of the first years that he was on there. He several times he took over all the bureaus. Is that a common practice, to take them all under his own?
No, not at all. Uh-huh. Reassigning made a lot of sense, and Terry did that particularly when there was a new commissioner come aboard, or switching, occasionally switch a thing or two, but and would always discuss, let's see, I'm trying to think now. Of course, he wouldn't have discussed it with me before I came on, because and afterwards it had been assigned, so...
He used the rationale that he was continually reassessing the workloads and administrative desires of the commissioners as his reason for taking the bureaus over. Was there another reason?
Well, I think that was probably correct, but what he was... he used them as reward and punishment.
Uh-huh.
And rather effectively.
I would imagine keep commissioners off balance, too.
Well, right. That's when you get a whole new bureau assigned. Yeah. When I got public works, boy, was my work cut out for me, because I knew nothing about that, and I had to study like crazy. And so it keeps you off balance and out of his hair.
Uh-huh.
And he took the fire department away, which I was madly in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the rest of the council all saw that, the hand slapping that he was doing, and he was able to reward, I think it was Frank that he gave the fire department to.
You called your assignment to the Public Works Bureau as ridiculous, that you had the least interest and expertise in that area.
That was true. That was absolutely true.
How does a bureau react to that? I mean, when they, when after you've said that and acknowledged that, then how are these people in the bureau going to feel?
I should have been more. You're absolutely right. I winced when you told me, was reading that quote to me just now. Think, could I have been so overt, and could I have been so?
Well, it sounds like you were upset.
I was very upset because he had promised to let us know, to let me know when the assignments were completed, and he didn't. And I stayed up till like 1 or 2 o'clock the night, at least that late. He had said that they were making the decisions, and he would bring it over, have it delivered that night. And I think I went to bed close to 3 o'clock, and it still wasn't there. Then the next morning, I found it on the front porch. And that was council meeting day, when and he was having his press conference already. And so there was no warning. And I thought it was, that was a very rude way to perform.
An editorial in the Oregonian said, quote, Mrs. McCready's complaint strikes to the heart of a major defect of Portland's commission form of government. This system presupposes that each elected official is a competent manager and public administrator, as well as a broad-based legislator. Did you feel that kind of burden on your shoulders?
Well, I sure felt the burden. I pitched in and learned it, and in effect fell in love with the bureau once I saw the challenges were legion. There were all kinds of challenges, and but it was a big educational process, and some, there just weren't any solutions to some of the problems.
There was one solution conflicts that was being offered at the time, and I don't know if we'll talk about this later or not, but I noticed that I've mentioned it here, or written it down here. It said both dangers, referring to having to be a manager and a legislator, the problems of them. Both the dangers are substantially lessened in the proposed city-county charter, which will turn operational responsibilities over to professional managers under the mayor and free lawmakers to set policy and perform oversight functions. A whole different setup for the government. How did you feel about that?
I thought that was a great idea. In fact, I was a wholehearted supporter of city-county consolidation, and they were working on the city-county consolidation task force or whatever it was. I remember George Joseph, attorney, now a judge, I guess, and Frank Roberts was on that task force. I can't remember offhand, but there were about 8 or 10 of them, and I was the only one from the council who would go over and testify on various, I had aspects of their, the various things that they were under consideration at that particular time, and I had a staff person covering those deliberations, attending all the meetings, and who would let me know what was up for consideration. And then if it was something that I felt pretty strongly about, I would go over and testify, because I really thought city-county consolidation made a great deal of sense. And so many of the things that they were proposing with it did make a lot of sense. But there were several things, one particular thing, that they that I fought, and that was making it partisan.
And, oh, yeah.
But there were mostly Democrats on that task force, at least the powerful ones, the chairman, George Joseph, and that's why, as I said, I remember Frank Roberts, and I can't remember now who else was on it. There were so many task forces with so many faces, but they were the talk the most, and they hung tough, and I begged them. I said, don't make me fight city-county consolidation. Don't force me into this. There's a lot of things you're doing that I would prefer you not do in this charter, but I can live with all of them. And I did. There was one something else that I didn't like at all, but it wouldn't be enough to have turned to make me oppose it. But I said, partisanship, I would absolutely oppose, because there is nothing partisan about a sewer or a street problem.
Right.
Everything that happens on our local level is not partisan by nature. And I have served in governments that are partisan, in the state legislature and in the city. And it just would become one more hassle, one more obstruction to getting the best legislation. And I really fought it. And however, and George Joseph told me, frankly, I don't think he told me at in the meeting. I don't think he would have had the nerve to have said it there. It must have been after. But he said, "We're not going to change it. The partisan politics needs strengthening in the state." And he was going to
really.
Yeah, he said he wanted to strengthen the Democrats. Actually, because he was very upset that there was a Democratic majority registration, but the Republicans kept winning things. And I told him, I said, well, for crying out loud, don't take this means of, don't kill. There's enough people trying to kill consolidation who wouldn't want it, consolidation, period. Don't turn off the people who would have it, really would have it. And I said, I'll get out and campaign against it. I'll have to if you leave partisanship in there. And
well, it eventually did lose.
It lost.
It?
Right.
And why?
Oh, I would like to take full credit, but I don't think I can.
But you were supporting it.
Not then, I wasn't, because they kept it partisan.
They did keep it partisan.
They refused to take that out. And I still, to this day, believe that that would be a crime. Just a crime.
Yeah.
Well, are the county seats, they're partisan, are they not? I think they are.
I don't think they are.
Maybe they changed that later. Isn't that terrible that I can't remember?
I don't think
maybe they're not.
It would make sense in this context that they, and maybe at the time that they were, because that would be a reason for changing it from the way it is in the city right now, if the county was partisan.
You mean, but to go that route,
to go that
too.
Route because the county's already that way, but I don't recall that to be the case.
I don't think so. No, Joseph was just perfectly frank with me. He just said, you know, about strengthening the party, and I said, well, don't use this.
Yeah.
Strengthen your party by the way you stand and by issues and by getting good people to run and increasing the registration. I said, It's not the city's fault that you're not strengthening your party, you know. And I said, give me one partisan issue that the city has to face. But you know, however, if it gets to the partisan, you're just going to make things even worse.